Ladies and gentlemen, it's a big, weird, wild world out there, folks, and here we stand. Al pie del cañón, ready for anything. I'm Rob, that's the Natch, and you're listening to...
The Bravo Show!
Good morning, friends. Again, sorry for the quality of my voice. I know it's terrible. I am a little under the weather today. Oh, how are you doing, Natch?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, good. I'm glad. One of us. One of the two of us. How are you doing out there, my friends? A big good morning to Edward, to Eugene, to The Bridge, to Carmen, to Born to Iron Man, all joining me in the chat live in the audience. If you want to be as cool and as sexy as they are, you can join me at twitch.tv/ Professional Bohemian. If you want to interact with the show outside of our lifetimes, you can do that on Instagram, also at Professional Bohemian. Or if you want to keep up with the news and links we use on the show, you can do that on my Patreon, patreon.com/ Professional Bohemian. That's Bohemio Profesional, pero en inglés. Oh, could not be easier. All right, let's see what we've got on the show today. The elves have been hard at work preparing an amazing show for us. In today's unpopular opinion, kind of a controversial one, I dare say, with regards to alcohol. Someone, I think it was Nessa, who reached out to me about this one and said, "Woof, this is a controversial topic." And it is. It is, I will admit. I'm coming to this from a very specific perspective. We'll get into it in a second. Today's unpopular opinion is using or drinking alcohol as a social lubricant, como lubricante social, is problematic. El consumo de alcohol como lubricante social es problemático. That's today's unpopular opinion. I come from this from a very specific angle. I do drink, but in very small amounts. I'll tell you a little bit more about my history with alcohol later. Let's get into today's 100 humans. We asked them to name a kind of alcohol. The kind of alcohol you'd order in a bar. Nombre una bebida alcohólica que alguien podría pedir en un bar. And in today's Complete the News, we'll find out what the moon, la luna, is bringing to beaches in California. Ooh, a good show. Let's see what people are saying, shall we? The Bridge is here. She says, good morning, Bohemians and Rob. How are you doing? Good morning, Bridge. Everyone's saying good morning to each other. Edward's saying COVID again. No. I mean, I came into the studio with a mask on today, but that's because I work right next to the Natch. I don't want him getting ill. Carmen, good morning, beautiful boys and girls in the bohemian world. Good morning, Carmen. But BTI saying good morning to all the bohemians out there. Gravelly and stuffy, says The Bridge. Wow, great word. Gravelly. Have you heard that word before, Natch? It's a quality of someone's voice. It's kind of like the opposite of smooth, but not unpleasant. You know, like when you hear someone talk who smoked a lot? That's what we describe as a gravelly voice. Good morning, beautiful bohemians around the universe and beyond, says Vero. Vero with us as well. It's snowing a little in my city, says Eugene. Eugene coming to us all the way from Russia. And Edward and Vero and all the chat getting on very well today. How are you doing, guys? Oh, it's a pleasure. I'll tell you what, though, friends. I'm here. You're here. Natch is here. Let's see what's going on in the world, shall we? Got quite a bit of news. A follow-up on a story we've been covering quite a lot with regards to social media. TikTok. Joe Biden signs the TikTok ban bill into law, starting the clock for ByteDance to divest it. Woo! Biden firma la ley de prohibición de TikTok, iniciando el plazo para que ByteDance la vienda. I've spoken about this at some length, Natch. What's your opinion on, what's your take on this about TikTok and the controversy in the UK?
I haven't heard of that controversy.
Oh my God. Oh, could you at least pretend to pay attention to my show, Natch? the controversy being that TikTok is owned by a Chinese company called ByteDance, right? And the fear is that ByteDance would share user data with the Chinese government, right? That's the crux of the issue. That's why in the UK and in the US, there are certain measures in place in Congress and in seats of power where you can't have the TikTok application on your mobile phone, things like that. Well, yeah, they've started the ticking clock now for TikTok, for ByteDance to divest in TikTok. Divest meaning, to remove themselves from the running and governance of the application if they want to remain in the States. My argument to this has always been, well, you know, you're worried about this particular app spying on you when Facebook, Instagram, or basically every other social media platform is spying on you and sharing user data with the American government. And I'm European. So why would I hate TikTok more than I hate Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, etc.? You know? I don't know. Maybe I'm coming at this wrong. Maybe I'm not seeing the wood for the trees. Maybe I'm not seeing El Bosque por los Árboles. I don't know. And I'm sure like the American government knows something that I don't. I'm not pretending to be completely in the loop. Anyway, this is coming from The Verge. President Joe Biden has signed a bill that could lead to a ban on TikTok unless its China-based parent company, ByteDance, divests the app within a year. This legislation, part of a broader foreign aid package, sets a 9-month deadline for ByteDance to negotiate a divestiture, with a potential 3-month expansion if there is evident progress. The bill initially faced hurdles in the Senate, but was passed after being bundled with foreign aid initiatives, gaining necessary support. TikTok has expressed intentions to challenge the law in court, which might delay the enforcement process. This situation raises significant uncertainties about how China might respond, especially concerning the potential sale of TikTok's algorithm, which is central to the app's success. TikTok's CEO, Xiao Chu, has publicly criticized the move, framing it as an outright ban on the platform and its user community. It's hard for me to think of this app, Natch, and not feel like there is a little bit of racial bias. I don't want to say racism, right? But racial bias within the decision to ban it. Can you see that, or is that just me, Natch? Am I a little bit crazy?
A little bit.
You know? I mean, okay, no, it's fine. It's fine that our apps spy on people all over the world, but no. Don't you dare have another government doing that. Oh my God. It just seems a little incongruous to me. I don't know. How about you guys in the chat? How do you feel about this? Eric joining us from the Philippines. How are you doing? Everyone, it's 2:33 p.m. in the Philippines. Good afternoon to all the warriors in the Philippines. And it's still severely hot, reaching 48.6 degrees inside and outside Metro Manila. My God. Stay indoors, Eric. Gravel in Spanish is chinaras. All right. Okay. Thank you. So I've got a voz de chinaras, I guess, today. Natch is looking at me like, I don't know, man. Just agree and move on. Everyone who affected in a hot places, please hydrate properly, says Eric. Good idea. Yeah, do stay hydrated out there if there are any more listeners from the Philippines. Today I'm having the reconstruction of the tooth that was removed on Monday and which the nerve was killed. I don't want it. You'll be fine, Vero. You've got take strength from your fellow Bohemians here in the chat. Too much temperature. Take care of yourself, says Edward to Eric. Yeah, please do take care. All right, let's get into the next piece of news. Weird piece of news here. Women are less likely to die when treated by female doctors, a study suggests. Yeah. Is that because female doctors are better? Or, I don't know. Let's get into it. This is from NBC News. It's not kind of some weird or little publication. NBC is a big news publishing and news broadcasting network in the United States. So let's see what they mean by this. Las mujeres tienen menos probabilidad de morir cuando son tratadas por médicas, sugiere un estudio. A recent study published in the Annals of Internal Medicine suggests that hospitalized women are less likely to die or be readmitted if treated by female doctors. Analyzing data from nearly 800,000 Medicare patients aged 65 and older from 2016 to 2019, researchers found that 8.15% of women treated by female physicians died within 30 days, compared to 8.38% of those treated by male physicians. Are we talking about 0.2%? Surely that falls within the margin of error, doesn't it? So why are we talking about this? I don't know. I have the sneaky suspicion that this is some clickbait BS. This is why we don't read only headlines, friends. Let's continue. This small but significant difference could potentially save 5,000 lives each year. The study highlights broader issues in healthcare disparities, noting that women and minorities more often receive poorer medical care compared to men and white patients. Woo! Do you think that's true? Oh, my God. Let's continue. Factors such as miscommunication, misunderstanding, and bias are reduced when female patients are treated by female doctors. I don't like the potential implications of news like this. You know what I mean? Like, no, I must be treated by the same gender, the same sexual orientation, the same marital status, the same religious beliefs, the same cultural heritage. It just seems a little weird to me. But there you have it. I mean, that's the news. The findings underline the need for enhanced training in women's health issues in medical education and suggest a systemic approach to improve healthcare delivery by incorporating the successful practices of female doctors across the board. Yeah, that's not to say I'm not pro female doctors, absolutely. But I think the suggestion that, you know, out of 800,000 people, there's a 0.02 percentage point of more deaths occurring. I think that's, you know, I think that might fall within the margin of error. But hey, what do I know? Next piece of news. I think we're going to do two more today because I've got two interesting ones. Oh, we just have time. Here we go. A new physics paper suggests that we may be living in the ultimate 4X strategy game. Un nuevo artículo de física sugiere que todos podríamos estar viviendo en el último juego de estrategia 4X, después de todo. After all. Have you ever heard the theory that we all live in a simulation, Natch?
Well, yes. No, I don't know too much, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same thing. A 4X strategy game, or rather known as... I think, God, what's it called? There's another name for grand strategy. Grand strategy. I'm actually looking for a definition right now as I'm talking. It means explore, expand, exploit, and eliminate. Okay? Those are the four X's, even though each of those words begin with an E. Thanks, video games. So are we living in a simulated reality? A 4X video game? Let's dig in. A recent physics paper by Dr. Melvin Vopson explores the intriguing concept that our universe might be a simulated reality akin to a massive 4X strategy game. This theory, part of a broader simulation hypothesis, is supported by Dr. Vopson's research into the nature of information, suggesting that information behaves similarly to energy and mass. His theory, which posits a universal law called Second Law of Information Dynamics, could potentially explain cosmological mysteries like the missing mass problem. If validated, these findings would indicate that a universe operates within a data optimization and compression mechanisms necessary for such a simulation to function feasibly. There are certain mysteries in physics, Natch, that are just scary to think of. There's one where particles behave like waves when they're not being observed. I think, don't they call it the double slit theory? I don't know if you've ever, or the double slit principle. When it's observed, they behave in a certain way. When it's not observed, it behaves in another. Certain kind of mysteries in physics that may be explained by the fact that we're all living in a simulation. I find this fascinating. By the way, guys, all these links available in my Patreon. Do go and check them out. final one. We're going to do four pieces of news today. Why not? This is fascinating to me. Why? Because this is, for me, where science has become so advanced it's almost like magic. Okay, a bionic eye scan of an ancient scorched scroll points to Plato's lost gravesite. This is coming from Popular Science, the magazine, the very famous science magazine. Un escáner de ojo biónico de un antiguo pergamino. Is that right? Pergamino? Quemado a punto al lugar del tumba perdida de Platón. A groundbreaking use of technology by a research team has potentially pinpointed the final resting place of the ancient philosopher Plato, according to a bionic eye scan of a charred ancient scroll from Herculaneum, buried by the eruption of Mount Vesuvius in 79 CE. So this thing basically looks like a lump of coal, and using this eye scan, and I believe certain AI tools to decode, they've been able to read and translate the whole damn thing. That for me is magic, Natch. Like, I struggle to read a doctor's prescription. These guys are reading scrolls from what looks like coal. This scroll, part of a collection believed to originate from Julius Caesar's father-in-law's library, has been largely unreadable until recent technological advancements. Utilizing infrared hyperspectral imaging combined with optical coherence tomography, a technique commonly used by ophthalmology, researchers were able to read beneath the layers of carbonized material. The newly translated text suggests Plato was buried near the Shrine of the Muses at the Platonic Academy in Athens, and also offers insights into his final days. Interesting stuff. Let's see what people are saying here in the chat. It's going to be okay, Vero, you won't realize, says Carmen. Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be fine, Vero, with your tooth reconstruction. We are living in the real matrix, says Vero. It could be. Can you see the numbers? Could be. Maybe we are living in a simulation. It would. This is why it's a theory that we hear more and more about if you're into science and physics. Because more evidence points toward the fact that our universe simply is a simulation. Let's continue. What was the name of that doctor? Which doctor? Melvin Vopson. The physicist. I think you're talking about, right? Or the theoretical physicist. Matrix, you have to choose the blue or the red pill, says Edwin. You know, my fundamental flaw with the Netflix, Natch, with the Matrix, is that you would never take the pill that would take you out of the Matrix. I wouldn't. Why would you? You know what I mean? Is it going to improve my life? No, you'll be significantly worse living with raving cave dwellers. Well, thanks. I'll stay in the Matrix. Cheers. Thanks. Bye. Cheers, Morpheus. Have a nice day. I don't know, man. Quantum physics, Rob. Quantum physics. That's what AI is for, says The Bridge. Carmen, I bet Plato would rather stay in his tomb than discover what the world has become. Yeah, maybe. Maybe, Carmen. And on that note, let's go to our unpopular opinion.
Unpopular opinion.
All right, here we go with today's unpopular opinion. Wow, the volume just shot right up there. Okay, so today's unpopular opinion is that the consuming alcohol as a social lubricant is problematic. El consumo de alcohol como un lubricante social es problemático. Here comes the nasty bald man to spoil your drinking times. Maybe or maybe not. I'm going to get into this a lot more detail in the second half of the show. But first, right now, before we go to the poll, we're going to go through some pros and cons as given to us by our poor, tortured elves. Okay, here we go. Concerns about using alcohol as a social lubricant. Here we go. The pro column agreeing. Regular reliance on alcohol for social interactions can lead to dependency. Individuals may feel they cannot be sociable or enjoy social settings without drinking, potentially leading to alcohol abuse or alcoholism. Yeah, I mean, there is certainly certainly a lot of truth in that. Again, I'll go over my own history with alcohol later on in the show. Alcohol lowers inhibitions and impairs judgment, which can lead to inappropriate or harmful behaviours. What might start as a means to reduce social anxiety can result in a regrettable action or words, negatively affecting relationships and personal reputations. The expectation to drink can alienate non-drinkers. Whether they abstain for health or religious or personal reasons, this societal pressure can lead to uncomfortable situations or force individuals to partake against their wishes, potentially causing psychological discomfort or stress. And final point, here we go. Even moderate alcohol use has health risks, including not limited to liver damage, increased risk of cancers, and cardiovascular problems. Normalizing alcohol as a necessity for socialization contributes to broader public health issues. May seem like somewhat of an extreme, right? Highlighting all those things. But I will say, at least from my experience, it's certainly not. I mean, as you know, in the UK, we have a rich football culture that obviously mixes quite well with the alcohol scene. I wonder how much less violence there would be if alcohol wasn't our go-to drug of choice as a social lubricant. Now, I know not every country is the same, but I, in my youth, lived through years of systemic rioting in my city. And alcohol certainly played a part in that. Let's continue on with the cons now, saying no. There's no problem with using alcohol as a social lubricant. When I say social lubricant, just to make socialization easier. Okay, so let's get into it. The cons, disagreeing with the point today. Alcohol can reduce social anxiety, making it easier for people to engage in conversations, especially in large groups or with new acquaintances. This can enhance personal and professional networking and make social gatherings more enjoyable. In many cultures, sharing a drink is a sign of trust and friendship. It's a ritual that strengthens bonds and serves as a commercial activity. A communal activity that can brings people together. This tradition can be significant in fostering relationships and maintaining social ties. I mean, if you've ever gone out and tried not to drink, at least in England, the comments are hilarious, right? Why aren't you drinking? What's wrong with you? You know, it's strange. If you don't eat fish, people aren't as insistent that you eat fish. Go on, try a fish. Try a little fish. Try a goldfish. But when it comes to alcohol, it seems to be that we need all our friends to be in the same club. Let's continue. Consuming alcohol in moderation can enhance feelings of relaxation and pleasure for many. It's a way to unwind and enjoy social occasions, contributing positively to the overall social experience. And the final point in the con column. Alcohol has been used as a social tool across various cultures and historical periods. True story. Playing a role in celebrations, rituals, and ceremonies. This deep-rooted historical significance underscores its role as a facilitator of social interaction. Yeah, this is true. But all sorts of things. I mean, ancient Egyptians used cocaine. Are you advocating for cocaine just because it spans cultures and history? I'd imagine not, right? So here we go. There we have it. Those are the pros and cons of today's unpopular opinion. The consumption of alcohol as a social lubricant is problematic. How do you think they voted on Instagram, Natch?
50-50.
It's a difficult one today, yeah. 50-50 would have made sense to me too. They actually said 88% true, which blew my mind, because I imagine had I done this unpopular opinion 10 years ago, the answer would be very, very different. Are we, is this a post-COVID realization among many people? Like a post-pandemic realization where we all overindulged a little too much in certain things, and we're starting to think, hang on a minute, what part does this play in my overall mental health? fascinating subject today. I see a lot of comments here in the chat, and we will get to those right after the break, guys. A fascinating unpopular opinion today. I'm really interested in knowing what you think. I will be posting the poll in the chat, and you will tell me, is consuming alcohol as a social lubricant problematic? True or false? Natch and I will get into this. I'll read some comments that I have that I received from our friends on Instagram. And I'll tell you a little bit of my own history with alcohol right after this 4-minute break. Guys, so many things you could have been doing this morning. An infinite number of things. But instead of doing those things, you took the time to take some to spend some time with me and the Natch, and it means the world. See you in a few minutes. Hey guys, if you'd like to support the show, you can do so on Patreon. That's patreon.com/professionalbohemian. There you'll find VODs of the episodes as they are recorded live, blogs, vlogs, and behind-the-scenes content. If you'd like to watch the show live, you can do so on twitch.tv/professionalbohemian, and you can participate in the polls we use in the show on Instagram @professionalbohemian or Twitter @probo, P-R-O-B-O-H. Okay. On with the show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. The poll is still live on today's unpopular opinion. Using alcohol as a social lubricant is problematic. I'll post the link one more time for our friends in the chat, in our live audience. If you want to join our live audience, you can do that at twitch.tv/professionalbohemian. We covered a lot of things, did a little extra news than normal today. A weird article from NBC, maybe true, but still seems a little weird to me, saying women are less likely to die when treated by female doctors, a study suggests. If true, and if significant, then definitely we should be making decisions, health decisions based on this information. If not true, and if just purely clickbait, as may be suggested by the 0.2% difference, I don't know. Perhaps. I wish there's a way to make headlines less salacious, less, what's the word I'm looking for? Less clickbaity, you know? Because a lot of people would read that, not dig into the article and just make immediate decisions based on the headline. Anyway, we followed up on the story, evolving story of TikTok being banned in the US. A bill has been signed and now the clock is ticking for ByteDance, the parent company, to divest its interests from TikTok. We also looked at a new physics paper that revealed we may all really be living in a simulation. I find this this branch of theoretical physics really fascinating. Really fascinating. And finally, the bionic eye scan of a torched, scorched lump of coal that was actually a scroll found in... somewhere near the eruption of Mount Vesuvius, how we've actually managed to read that scroll using advanced technology. This is where technology becomes magic for me, Natch. I don't even know how to fit that kind of thing in my head. It's crazy. And then we went on to today's unpopular opinion, which was, of course, consuming alcohol as a social lubricant is problematic. Let's dig into some of the comments we received. Vero here says, there's always been the figure of the social drinker. People who only drink when they're at an event. The problem arises when this need to drink in public becomes an addiction. Here's something I would say to provide a little balance. Isn't the real problem when you're drinking alone? How social are you for this to be a real problem? Is it a problem that rather relying on your own social instincts, you perhaps rely on this drug to facilitate easy communication? Is that problematic? I think it might be, right? Let's dig in a little more. The point is, if the only universe we know is this one, how could we know what it's supposed to simulate? Ooh, great point. Pedro's on fire. I love the physics discussions. In fact, I listened to the Lex Fridman podcast. He had a famous physicist on this week's show. Fascinating show. I don't think there's anything controversial about today's unpopular opinion. We all have used alcohol as a social lubricant, as we all did very stupid things out of that, or because of that. Some people and even cultures may be more prone to that, and that may explain higher levels of alcoholism in countries like Finland, which I know too well, says Pedro. Interesting. Edward says, what soccer team do you support, Rob? I hope it's Liverpool. I don't actually support any football team. Yeah. Much to the disappointment of all the male members of my family. Being like Italian and English and well, Polish, really, whatever. But much to their disappointment, never been a fan of football. Yeah, I don't know. I've tried. I've been to football matches, but yeah, couldn't quite get into it. Pedro says, how would we use alcohol as a social lubricant during the pandemic? If we're not having social relationships at all, maybe we have just used alcohol to cope with a tough reality. There's multiple uses of booze, and that's one of them. It's a great point, because I brought it up in the first half of the show. The fact that today's Instagram vote was 88% true to this one, and I don't think that would have been the result pre-pandemic. And I think for a lot of people, we overindulged to cope with the pain of the pandemic, and it's made us reassess our relationship with this drug, alcohol, right? And that's my feeling, that's my opinion. And of course, opinion is not fact, so I would ask you to read anything I say with relation to that, you know, with those glasses on. Let's continue. Carmen says, having known people who have died because of alcohol and ruined their families, my answer here is radically true. Everything around alcohol is so sad. Started by needing it one way or another, whether it's with social relationships or on your own, and ending with compulsory behavior towards it. I find the idea of requiring alcohol to lubricate your social behavior very dependency making. Okay, it almost, you know, if you have to lean on a substance to fulfill a basic need like social interaction, then that would create a dependency, right? Does that make sense? I think so. Let's continue. Sam's with us. How are you doing, Sam? Having said this, I drink wine sometimes as long as you use your head, says Carmen. Pedro says, where are we? It's a different thing to drink alcohol due to the whole experience and the taste of it. Maybe we overly glorify wine, for instance, but I do love it. Yeah, me too. I do enjoy a nice drop of wine. I'm very skeptical about the news on women being treated by female doctors. What should matter is the diagnosis and the treatment, as opposed to the gender of the doctor. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. 0.2% seems like a very, very small number. Although when you take in aggregate, when you consider the 800,000 people, that would lead to 5,000 deaths, right? So it does sound like a lot, but in a massive sample size, I don't know. This is why we all need to read past the headlines, guys. Because a lot of modern publications, a lot of modern news publications bury the lead, or engañosos is the word in Spanish. They're looking for your attention rather than to inform you on current events. Let's see what Sam is saying here. Sam says, using alcohol, of course, is dangerous. Said so, some people can enjoy a nice tipsy moment to let their emotions go for a while and enjoy some moments even more. The problem is that feeling is used by many to cope with daily life, and that's a big problem for society. We shouldn't forget that alcohol is a drug. We don't deny that cocaine, opium, etc. are dangerous. Yeah, but we do tend to kind of live in a little bit of denial that we're playing with a very addictive substance when we're talking about alcohol, right? Carmen here says, I would say the taste is enjoyable. I think they're talking about wine here. The taste is enjoyable. It's just that we get used to it. Besides, if someone needs any substance to enjoy life a bit more, maybe that substance should be controlled by a doctor. Whoa! Can we get a Probo approved for everyone?
Probo approved.
everyone doing amazing work in the debate today. Thank you. Thank you. Let me tell you a little bit of my history with alcohol. As many of you know, I've listened to the show for a while. In my youth, I had alcohol problems. I wouldn't go as far to say I was an alcoholic, but I did certainly have problems with binge drinking. It took me a long time to quit, and I stopped drinking for a period of 5 or 6 years. I didn't drink a drop. My relationships with the substance changed. It wasn't easy. I didn't just kind of say, oh, I'm not going to drink alcohol anymore. I had several relapses that were pretty ugly. My university made me go to counseling twice a week. It was a tough road, but I got there, and in the end, it was to my benefit, I would say, because my life up until that point had been a train wreck. And thanks to some great counseling, some stubbornness on my side, and some good friends at the time that were really supportive, I managed to get over it. I soon realized that a lot of my relationship with alcohol came from what I would now label as a little social anxiety. Never been comfortable talking to groups of people, which is weird coming from me because I teach public speaking, right? I teach public speaking, I've been on TV, I have a radio show, so it's odd to talk about having social anxiety, but there is a massive difference, friends. There's a massive difference in the psychological flow of speech when talking to a large group or talking in front of a camera or talking in front of a microphone. It's a skill that can be learned. Whereas social interaction is real, right? And a big part of me dealing with that anxiety, I guess, was because I was such a poor communicator at the time, was drinking and fighting and all those things that British youths tend to do, right? I do drink now is what you're probably asking yourself, in moderation. For example, I haven't had a drink of alcohol in probably 2 months. What are we now? April? Since Christmas. So 4 months. Yeah. Do I believe alcohol to be dangerous? Do I think that no one should drink alcohol? No. No, because I do enjoy drink. And I do think a part of our cultural heritage is to use substances to process the day. Would you agree with that, Natch? Would you agree with that statement?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Whether it be ancient tribes in Peru using ayahuasca, or, you know, drinking tequila in Mexico, or drinking a beer in the US or Germany or wherever. Culturally speaking, we've had a relationship with substance to process our daily events and as a social lubricant. Since time immemorial. But is it problematic now in the modern day? Because there are so many things that we used to do in the past that we no longer do. Well, that's where you, our wonderful Bohemians, come in. In a second, we'll go back to the poll and see how people voted. First of all, let's finish off what people are saying in our chat here. It's such a sensitive subject today. A friend's sister died in great pain after 10 years or so dealing with alcoholism. That was so hard. I'm so glad for you, Rob. Thank God. Says Carmen. Yeah, me too. I was heading down a very dangerous road. You know, I've a lot of friends who've died, not just because of alcoholism, just because of addiction. I've had a lot of pain thanks to... sadly, thanks to substance abuse in my past and among the people I've cared about. So it is a sensitive subject to me, and hopefully we're dealing with it in a pretty respectful manner. All right, so let's get into the poll, shall we? Let's see how you guys voted. So I made the statement, using alcohol as a social lubricant is problematic. And you guys said... 66% true. Actually, 66.67%. Where do you land on this one? What do you think, Natch?
The thing is, I like to have beers with friends, and
yeah.
I don't see it problematic. I see it, maybe it's not ideal. When the ideal would be no alcohol in the world, but that's everything. With moderation,
yeah.
But it's true that you have to be careful. It's true, yeah. Because you don't realize and you start drinking more and more, and you have to be careful.
Yeah, I'm very lucky to have a person like Andrea in my corner, and Izzy, who know of my history and can see when my, well, certainly Andrea, who's known me 20 years, can see my patterns and see when I'm falling into a bad way. And usually at that point, I say, okay, I'm not drinking now for a few months, get my head straight. Yeah, because even now, I struggle. Like after Christmas, I really struggled to put down the bottle. It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah, it's a sensitive subject today. Yeah, as I say, you know what I mean? I still drink in extreme moderation. And I wouldn't encourage. I think the problem here is using it as a social lubricant. Natch, I'm sure when you go out and you speak to your friends, you're not having a drink because without that drink, you can't facilitate good communication with them. There's a difference, right? You're not shy or anxious to the point where, oh God, I need to have a drink now to bring myself to a place I consider is socially normal to interact with these people. You're drinking because you enjoy having a drink. There's a difference between depending on a substance and enjoying a substance, I think. And I think that's where we draw the line. But that's just my opinion, friends. And you know what Grandpa Bo would say about that opinion? He'd say, opinions, they're like buttholes. Everyone has one and they all stink. Friends, let's go to 100 humans. Oh my God, it was a long walk to work today across snow-capped mountains and through river valleys, and on that walk, I encountered 100 humans, and I asked them all a question. Today's question was, name an alcoholic drink one might order at a bar. Nombre una bebida alcohólica que alguien podría pedir en un bar. Oh, in un pub, if you like. All right, I asked them that question. They gave me their answers. I have just a metric ton of answers here on Instagram. Thank you, guys. A few of those people who wrote in, let's go through a few of those names. MC Villa, La Chica de la Segunda Fila, Pedro, Gemma. I'm sorry to the people who wrote to me on Instagram. We didn't have enough time to get to your comments. But Priya, Marcus, Leo, Hannah, all participating in today's 100 Humans. Of course, Rosa, Mushki, Rafelka. Thank you. As always, we go to the one and only Oracle first to kick us off. What do you think, Natch?
Beer.
It's a classic. Cerveza. Is it there? Is beer there? Yes, it is. Well done. Beer is there. It is in first place. Well done, Natch. My God. Oof. I'm struggling this morning, man. Okay. Beer. Sam agrees with you with beer. Well done. Well done. A ton of people on Instagram. Izzy, Rafelka, Vero, Gemma, Pilar, that's all folks. Pedro, MC Villa, all said beer. Beer is there. Number one answer. Let's go to the chat. Vero and Sam say wine. Wine. Ooh, is wine there? Vino. Yes, it is. Well done. Well done, guys. Wine is there. 16 of the 100 humans said wine. You're killing it. Well done. Whiskey. Whiskey cola, says Sam. Whiskey. Is whiskey there? Yes, it is. Well done. My God. You're on fire. All right, let's see. Caipirinha. I'm not even sure I know what a caipirinha is. What's a caipirinha, Natch?
It's a cocktail made out with rum.
Ah, okay. A bit like, no, what's margarita made with?
Well, I think the origin is cachaza or something, the original drink, but it's usually made with rum.
Cognac is brandy, right? Someone says cognac. Vero says cognac. Pedro says, well, let me just be frank. Cognac is not there. Brandy is not there. Sorry, guys. A lot of people here on Instagram and in the chat. In the chat, Pedro on Instagram, Raz and a bunch of others. of La Chica de la Segunda Fila, they all say a gin and tonic. Gin. Is gin there? No, it's not. What the hell? Yeah. I don't understand it. What the hell was wrong with our 100 humans today? I'm going to give you a few clues so we can get to today's unpopular opinion, because in the chat we don't have identified the ones that are here. In the chat we have mojito, caipirinha, licores, chupito, shots, piña colada, water, calimocho, cachaca? I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, the thing that you make caipirinha with.
Ah, okay, yeah. Pedro says, yeah, cachaca, not rum, Natch. a screwdriver, says Carmen. All those are good, but not there. One of the ingredients of a screwdriver is there, if I correctly remember what a screwdriver is made of. Let me give you a clue, Natch. This is James Bond's favourite drink. Woo! What do you think it is? What do you think it is, guys? Go on, Natch, tell us.
I think it's vodka martini or...
It's a martini. Well done. Woo! Third place, 1,200 humans. You actually gave me another one of the answers that's there, Natch. You said vodka. Well done, sir. A 2-for-1. Okay. I wrote it is vermouth in Spain, says Carajillo, desayuno de campeones, says Sam. You know, after we've been talking about alcoholism, this is the perfect medicine, right? To just bring us back. Oh, Carajillo, desayuno de campeones, says Sam. All right. The seventh most popular answer, believe a drink that originated in Mexico. Famous for maybe containing a worm. What am I talking about, Natch?
Tequila.
Tequila, well done. Yeah, although I think, Sam and Pedro on the ball there also saying tequila. Although I think it's mezcal that has the worm in it. I don't know. Okay, final, Pedro actually just said mezcal in the chat there. It just popped up. Okay. Final answer. The English translation would be Little Margaret. What is it, Natch?
Margarita.
Margarita, well done. Oh, dude. Just in the interest of wrapping up, I asked 100 humans to name an alcoholic drink that won my order in a bar. In position number
7,
we had tequila. In position number
6,
vodka. In position number
5,
margarita. In position number
4,
whiskey. 11 of 100 humans said that. In position number
3,
dry martini, shaken, not stirred. 12 of 100 humans said martini. In position number
2,
vino. We have some wine there. In position number 2, 16 of 100 humans. And finally, in position number
1,
with 38 of 100 humans, beer. Well done. Whew. Let's go to complete the news.
Complete the news!
Oh, good Lord. All right. On today's... I'm sorry, guys. You are showing an amazing amount of patience with me and my croaky voice today. Okay, let's get into it. I don't know what's going on, but I like it, says Turd Maestro in the chat. First time chat. Best name... on Twitch. Turd Maestro. Can we get him a promo approved, man?
Promo approved.
Let me tell you something, Turd Maestro. I don't know what's going on either, and I like it too. All right, let's get into today's Complete the News. I'm going to give you a real news headline, but I'm going to leave out some important information. With the three options I give you, you will complete the news. Okay, here we go. The moon brings blank to California's beaches. La luna trae blank a las playas de California. What is it? Is it A, a fish orgy? Una orgía de peces. Is it B, UFO watchers? Observadores de ovnis? Or is it C, red seaweed? Algas rojas. Woo! The moon brings blank to California beaches. Is it A, fish orgies, B, UFO watchers, or C, red seaweed. It's a tie this week so far between Natch and the chat. I believe Natch brought it back yesterday with a point there. So what do you think it is, guys? I'm waiting for your votes there in the chat. They are coming in slowly but surely. What do you think it is, Natch?
B.
You think B, UFO watchers. All right. Ooh, the chat seems to be settling on C. It's red seaweed. Let's see what it is, Natch. The moon brings... It's a fish orgy. That's a point to me. Yeah, I can't, this, according to this article from the BBC, it discusses a phenomenon known as the Grunion Run or Grunion Run, where these small fish come ashore during specific phases of the moon to spawn on California beaches. This event is known for its spectacle as grunions engage in a mass spawning activity, which can appear as a wild orgy of fish. The event is both a unique natural occurrence and a critical period for grunion reproduction, though it can be precarious due to environmental factors such as human interference. Wow. What a show, guys. We've spoken about everything from living in a simulation to fish orgies on California beaches. Name another show that covers such a wide breadth of topics. Guys, an amazing debate today about alcohol and our relationship with it in society. Thank you so much for your opinions there. A big thanks to everyone joining me in the live audience. You guys rock, friends. So many things you could have been doing today. An infinite number of things. But instead of doing those things, you took the time to spend some time with me and the Natch, and it means the world. See you next time.